gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 30th, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. And just in a couple of minutes here, I'll tell you what the reason for that music is today. But before I do that, let us not forget, we're going to have the State of the Union address tonight with our great President Donald Trump, who's going to tell us how wonderful everything is. And then again, remember this, we're going to have Susan Lindau tomorrow with her thoughts on what Donald Trump said or says tonight. Now, what I'm going to go into today, and this story was originally reported by John Pilger. And by the way, I want to give a shout out to John and Austin for this one. Today, folks, and this is the reason for that music, I have a story about good people, government powers with bad intent, and a result that gets really, really ugly for a long, long time. Now, how many of you are familiar with the island of Diego Garcia? And how many think that it is only Israel with no empathy or value for human life? Are the Palestinians the only people to suffer and die because another group of people decided that they wanted their territory? And remember, the Zionists made a deal with the British to get America into World War I. If only the British promised them that, well, upon victory, they would take part of their newly acquired territory that was under the Ottoman Empire and give it to the Zionists, i.e., Palestine. Now, this isn't the only secret deal made by the Brits to deprive innocent people of their homeland. Come with me now on yet another journey and discover the motives and lack, of course, of any moral fiber our elected officials possess. They are empty, they are void, they are dead inside. They would have to be to both allow or aggress on such innocence. One crime tells us how its whole democratic system works behind the facade and helps us understand how much of the world is run for the benefit of the powerful and how governments often justify their own actions with more lies. A government calling itself civilized tricked and expelled its most vulnerable citizens so that they could give their homeland to a foreign power for a military base. This was all done in high secrecy, and the same government and its successors then watched its citizens starve to death. It watched them despair. It watched them take their own lives, while at the same time, ministers and officials mounted a campaign of deception that went all the way up to the prime minister. That government was the British government, whose policies are continued today. This is about a faraway people. And most, including myself, have or had never heard of, and yet the lies covering the injustice done to them will all be too familiar, folks. The land was the island of Diego Garcia, the main island of the Chagos group in the Indian Ocean, once a phenomenon of natural beauty and peace, and it was a paradise. Today, it is one of America's biggest military bases in the world. There are more than 2,000 troops there, 2 bomber runways, 30 warships, and of course a satellite spy station. B-1 and B-52 bombers extend their reach from Diego Garcia into the Indian Ocean. From here, the U.S. has attacked both Afghanistan and Iraq. The Pentagon called it an indispensable platform for policing the world. Diego Garcia is a British colony. It lies midway between Africa and Asia. One of a group of unique coral islands, 2,000 people lived on the island, a gentle Creole population. They were originally from Africa and India, whose communities dated back to the late 18th century. There were thriving villages. There was a school, there was a hospital, a jail, a church, a railway, and above all, a benign, undisturbed way of life. Now, unknown to the islanders, their quiet, innocent, remote paradise was about to end. A conspiracy was underway between the governments of Britain and the United States The year is 1961. Rear Admiral Grantham of the U.S. Navy is setting foot on Diego Garcia, out of uniform, dressed casually, with his guide. His visit to Diego Garcia marked the beginning of a top-secret Anglo-American survey of the island for a military base so vast that it would cost over $1 billion. Now, in today's dollars, that's probably about $3 billion. The Chagos Islands were then governed from the Mauritius Islands, 1,000 miles away. And when Mauritius got its independence from Britain in 1968, it was on the condition that it would lay no claim to the Chagos Islands. Hidden from Parliament and from the U.S. Congress, the deal was this. The Americans wanted the islands, in their words, swept and sanitized. The entire population was declared expendable. All of them were to be deported. The British and American authorities implemented a policy decision that was aimed at depriving that community in the Chagos from basic supplies. In other words, sanctions. No milk, no dairy products, no oil, no gas, no sugar, no salt, no medication, no more of the basic things we all use in life. The effect of this policy was to terrify many of them into leaving. They were also told that their island might be bombed. In the spring of 1971, Sir Bruce Greatbatch, a KCVO, a CDMG, and an MB, all those initials behind their name, woo, makes him really powerful, governor of the Seychelles, gave an order that all of the dogs on Diego Garcia were to be killed. Now, these dogs were much loved pets of the people, and the horror of the killing was taken as a warning by the islanders. Almost 1,000 pets were rounded up and gassed using the exhaust fumes from American military vehicles. And this action absolutely devastated the children. They screamed and cried uncontrollably. And whether British, American, or Chagos, your relationship with your pets you'd think would be the same. The children were traumatized by the fate reserved for their dogs, and many of them, in no uncertain terms, they were told that any objection to this heinous act, and they would suffer the same fate. And perhaps the lowest trick was that those islanders needing to go to Mauritius were prevented from returning home. Islanders would travel to Mauritius for medical care or for other reasons, visit family, etc., and they were banned from returning to their homes, losing all of their possessions. They were told that they were sorry, but their island had been sold and that they could never return there again. One islander, when hearing the news, actually collapsed with a stroke. They took him to the local hospital, where he died shortly after. The remaining population was summoned to the administrator's office and told that their homeland had been sold and those who remained would be loaded onto ships and expelled. The islanders discerned that what they had seen done to their dogs would be done to them if they didn't comply. They were forced onto a ship called the SS Nordwehr. They were allowed only one suitcase, leaving all their other possessions behind, and Sir Bruce Greatbatch insisted that the horse, or horses, required a more comfortable place on the deck than the islanders. The women and children were made to sleep in a hold on a cargo of bird fertilizer. In other words, bird S with a hit. And no matter how many children they had, they were only allowed one mattress. It was they that were the animals on the Nordwehr. The first port of call on their journey was the Seychelles, where they were herded from the boat, and after unloading, they were marched up a hill to a prison. They were kept in cells until they were transported to Mauritius. And ultimately, upon arrival at Port Louis in Mauritius, they were literally dumped on the docks, both bewildered and terrified. Some of them waited on the docks, awaiting a ship that would maybe take them back home. That ship would never come. They were taken to a derelict housing project that had earlier been taken over by animals. The rundown and dilapidated dwellings had no water, no electricity. There was trash everywhere. There were no doors. There were no windows. The filth was unimaginable. They had no sanitation. The children had nothing but the dirty clothes on their back, of which they worn for weeks without a shower. The islanders began to die, not only from poverty, but what they would call sadness. Lizette, now in her 60s, lost two children, one 8 years old, one still being breastfed. She claimed they indeed did die of sadness, and in Chagos, they sang their way through life. After their relocation, they wept their way through life. A woman losing two children in 1 month, and when they died, she couldn't afford a proper burial, so the state intervened. From the hospital, the child was taken straight to the cemetery. Can you imagine the trauma that must have been experienced with that? And by the end of 1975, the secret expulsion of the people of Chagos, a survey of the people in exile told of 26 families that had died together in poverty, told of 9 suicide, a young girl forced into prostitution in order to survive. And though the British government was aware of the fate of these people, yet in a letter dated August 16, 1976, a Foreign Office official wrote, and I quote, "Although we have no information about deaths, some deaths are bound to have occurred in the normal course of events," unquote. Most Brits know Mauritius as a paradise holiday getaway, especially for honeymooners. They almost never see the slums of the exiled people of the Chagos, who were also, by the way, British citizens. One family of 25 of the Chagos extradition sleep in shifts in a one-room shack with a baby sleeping in a cardboard box. What was done to these people is today defined under international law as a crime against humanity. A journalist returning 22 years later to find what happened to these people found that nothing had changed. The few survivors in the same building broke, destitute, starving, with the loss of many more loved ones succumbing to both sickness and sadness. Oh, by the way, they still sing, but their words are sad. They sing of their former life in paradise, and it is paralleled with their second verse, "We are living now in a worthless life." Here's the translation. "When I was living on Diego, it was like a beautiful bird in the sky. Since I've been in Mauritius, we are living a worthless life. Help me, my friend. Help me to sing. Send our message to the world." Olivier Bancolt, the leader of the Chagos Islanders in exile, when he was a boy, he promised his mother Rita that he would lead the fight for justice for his people. Olivier knows all too well the suffering. He so far lost a sister and 4 brothers. In 1982, the Chagos Islanders, desperate, demonstrated in the streets of Mauritius. This event embarrassed the British government into giving them a paltry compensation, which came to less than £3,000 per person. That amount did not even pay their debts. And to get this money, many believe that they were tricked into signing away their right to return home. They had to give their thumbprints to get the money, the ones that couldn't write. They found that in signing, they were giving up their rights, after the fact, to ever return to the island. The document was written in English, and none of the Chagos Islanders could either speak or read the language. The document actually renounced all their rights as a human being. Renouncing their rights is precisely what the British government wanted them to do, as they could then be forgotten. In that same year, the government spent £2 billion defending the rights of the Falkland Islanders, who were, incidentally, white. These people were black. In the 1990s, the struggle of the islanders took a dramatic turn with the discovery of some documents in the public record in London. Here was the evidence that they and their supporters were looking for. Long-forgotten secret official files revealed in the full scale of the conspiracy and the cynicism that drove it. The conspiracy got underway with the creation of a fake colony called the British Indian Ocean Territory, or the BIOT. The sole purpose of creating this colony was to kick the people out, and to do it, the Foreign Office invented a fiction. They said the islanders didn't really belong to the Chagos, but were merely temporary contract workers. Foreign Office Memorandum, July 65, and I quote, "People were born there, and in some cases their parents were born there too. The intention, however, is that none of them should be regarded as being permanent inhabitants of the island." So, how could they be regarded? Well, the legal definition or the legal position of the inhabitants would be greatly simplified from our point of view, though not necessarily from theirs, if we decided to treat them as a floating population. The British government knew Chagos was permanently inhabited as they shot a TV documentary on the island in 1957, and the narrator admitted such. Inhabitants that had been mostly born on an inhabited and inhabited the land. The British had claimed in their fraudulent fiction that Chagos had no indigenous population, and they knew that to be a lie. Some officials in London started to worry about being called out on this, and in a Foreign Office memo in November 1965, "There is a civilization or a civilian population. In practice, however, I would advise a policy of quiet disregard." That was a quote by one of the Foreign Office ministers. In other words, let's forget about this until somebody at the UN challenges us on it. One can only say that they were looking at another prize, and this was considered a price that was worth paying, because in reality, there would likely be no objections, and they would get away with it. They had no concern for the people. All they were concerned about is if they would be found out. And in that same month, the British representative at the UN, F.W.D. Brown, was instructed to lie to the General Assembly in the UN that the Chagos Islands were uninhabited when the UK first acquired them. This was done in absolute discretion and was a blatant violation of the UN Charter in using blatant lies to the UN to protect themselves. What the official documents showed was not just a trail of lies, but an imperious attitude of brutality and contempt. And in August of 1966, Sir Paul Gore Booth wrote, and I quote, "We must surely be very tough about this. The object of the exercise was to get some rocks that would remain ours. There will be no indigenous population except seagulls." Unquote. And at the end of this note, handwritten by Dennis Greenhill, later Baron Greenhill of Harrow, he says, "Unfortunately, along with the birds, go a few Tarzans or Men Fridays whose origins are obscure and who are hopefully being wished on the Mauritia here." We'll be back on 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick around, more to come.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. And yes, this is the kind of stuff that makes me crazy. Imagine for a moment that for no apparent reason, nothing that you can think of, you're exiled out of your own land. You're expelled out of your own land by your own government. And then the people that expelled you off the land are doing the best they can do to try to cover their butts. Which is why Baron Greenhill of Harrow put a note in that statement that was made by Paul Gorbooth, and he said, and he wrote it in, he didn't type it. Unfortunately, along with the birds go a few Tarzans or Men Fridays whose origins are obscure and who are hopefully being wished on to Mauritania, Mauritia by the Chagos people, the islanders. So the conspirators now begin to get a little bit wound up, and a senior official wrote, quote, "This is all fairly unsatisfactory. We propose to certify up to 240 islanders, more or less fraudulently, as belonging somewhere else. This all seems difficult to reconcile with the sacred trust of the UN Charter." The sacred trust he referred to obliges Britain to safeguard the human rights of its citizens in a dependent territory. But his warning counted for little. One official offered a way around the problem, and he wrote, and I quote, "We do not regard the UK as bound by such a rule," unquote. And in this respect, we are able to make up the rules as we go along. He didn't write this, but this is what he's thinking. We are able to make up the rules as we go along and treat the inhabitants of the BIOT as not belonging to it in any sense. And this same official summed up the whole charade in the subtitle of one of his reports. And that subtitle was called Maintaining the Fiction. Now, this cover-up went right up to the top of government. It was drawn up by the Foreign Secretary Michael Stewart in the form of a secret minute sent to the Prime Minister on July 25th, 1968. And in this document, Stewart reveals that he is fully aware that Diego Garcia had a population that went back at least two generations, and he proposes that the government lie to the world that there is no indigenous population. April 26, 1969, Harold Wilson's private secretary, that was the prime minister, by the way, he wrote to Stewart, or she wrote to Stewart saying that the prime minister approved the plan. So it went all the way up to the top of the English government, which you'll find out a little bit later, really isn't quite the very top, which you'll see shortly. In Washington, a parallel conspiracy was also taking place, also in high secrecy. The object was to keep the expulsion of the islanders from Congress. So payment for the lease of the island was disguised as a $14 million discount on a Polaris nuclear missile about to be supplied to the Royal Navy. The $14 million lease was what this government was paying annually to the British monarchy to lease Diego Garcia. In the National Archives in Washington, a letter was found from the American ambassador in Mauritius. February 1st, 1972, Ambassador Brewer to Washington, and I quote, "It is of course absurd to apply that Diego Garcia had no fixed population. There is no question that the island has been inhabited since the 18th century." Unquote. This was all nonsense. When the admiral went to survey the island, he saw that there was a functioning civilization on it. He could not have possibly been aware or unaware of the settled native communities there. And not only did the admiral know, not only did the United States government lie, they collaborated on it together to decide how to get rid of the islanders and how to cover it up. Now, I will insert here, after the break. Timing was just about right there, folks. I'll make an insert as soon as we come back. Stick around, more to come. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Yes, not only did the American Admiral know, not only did the United States government lie, they collaborated on it together to decide how to get rid of the islanders and how to cover it up in conjunction with the Brits. Now, again, I will insert here, the attitude of the American spokesperson questioned regarding this issue was one James Schlesinger, the United States Secretary of Defense from 1973 to 1975. He stated that the matter was due to the times and of prior dealing with the Brits, both in this century and the prior century. The events carried out by the Brits, citing the bombing of Dresden, that this event, he concluded in light of that, was of little importance and far less relevant. And let me add here, let's not forget the bombing of Dachau by the Brits as well, where they took the 4,000 dead Germans, and probably Jews, and they blamed it on the Nazis. But the High Court in London, however, found it extremely relevant. And in November of 2000, it agreed with the people of Chagos and handed down a shaming rebuke to the British government. The court ruled that the expulsion of nine islanders was illegal after more than 30 years. Remember, folks, at the time there was 200. When they handed down that ruling, there was only nine left because the rest of them had starved, had committed suicide, turned themselves to prostitution and died, or whatever. The court ruled that the expulsion of nine islanders was illegal, and after more than 30 years, they had won and were finally going home. Or so they believed. Yes, the victory in the High Court in London gave the Chagos Islanders the right to start their lives again. They thought they'd be returning to rebuild and be able to reoccupy the land that they had cultivated for generations. However, the Foreign Office had other ideas. And within hours of the High Court judgment, it announced that it would not allow the islanders back to Diego Garcia, the main island where most of them came from. And Robin Cook stated that it would be politically impossible for them to return to their land, as the Brits had made a treaty with the United States. For money, of course. And though the Brits had first and foremost a human rights obligation to protect its citizens, it chose rather to honor the treaty with the United States, and to further keep the islanders out of any, not just Diego Garcia, but any of the Chagos Islands. The Foreign Office invoked something called a feasibility study, which would question if people could survive in this idyllic place where they had lived for six generations. Now, of course, the study that they convened, and actually there was three of them done, they didn't consult one single inhabitant of the Chagos Islands. After the High Court victory, the government promised the islands that they at least they could visit the graves of their families. Boats were chartered in Port Louis, Mauritia, but they never set sail. And Tony Blair's leader in the House of Lords explained why they never went back. She said that, well, you know, the British government, they chartered a vessel, but unfortunately the vessel was not made available. That they would be happy to reinstate a visit, but it would not include Diego Garcia because of the reluctance of the U.S. government. So the Brits agreed to let the islanders visit, but the United States said no. The president of Mauritius wrote to George W. Bush, reminding him that the Brits agreed, and Bush wrote back telling the president no, and that he won't deal with him, but only with the Brits, initiating kind of a game of political ping pong. And so when they would go to London, they were told it's an American problem. When they went to Washington, they were told it's a London problem. And by June, the Blair government was out of excuses. But they still had one more trick up their sleeve, and it's called an order in council. Now, this is an interesting one here. It just shows you the facade that the British people think that they live under, okay, which they, you know, it's a democracy, blah, blah. No, it's not, okay? It's a dictatorship. An order in council, it's a royal decree using the archaic powers that, well, unknown to most Brits, but still invested in the Queen. It's a cozy arrangement, you see. The Queen rubber stamps what, in many cases, politicians know they can't get away with democratically. So on November 5th, 1965, an order in council was issued by that governor, Harold Wilson. The aim was to secretly expel the population of the Chagos Islands, all of them loyal subjects of the Queen. So the Blair government then used the same powers, 35 years later, to bypass Parliament and the High Court in order to ban the Chagos Islanders from ever returning home. Now, dictators do this, but without the quaint ritual. That said ritual takes place at Buckingham Palace. The public never sees it. Parliament is merely told about it. They order a council discussion. They read a list. No reason is given to them. No contents. And the Privy Council never even sits down. They all just stand around, declare they've seen the title. There were two orders there, and the Queen says, agreed. And that's it. That is it. It's a decree. With that royal decree, the people were banned forever from going home. That was June 10th, 2004. Election Day in Britain, and they thought by that, well, no one would notice. The High Court ruled that the expulsion of the islanders was illegal. The Commission on Human Rights at the UN has called on the British government to return them to their homeland. So the question, why did the British government deny this basic human right and not allow these people to return? This question was posed to the Foreign Office Minister, Bill Rammell, MP. Now, I want you to listen to this rubbish in his lame answer. I quote, "Well, firstly, the feasibility study that was drawn up by independent, quote, experts, which told them that the only population of the islands would be a short term on a subsistence basis, any longer term would be precarious given the climatic conditions, given that in some cases some of the islands were barely 2 feet above sea level and would be very costly." Unquote. The Foreign Office actually conducted 3 feasibility studies, and as I said, remember, they never consulted one inhabitant of that island. They conducted 3 feasibility studies, as they called them, about resettlement. Their content had nothing whatsoever to do with the resettlement of the islanders who'd lived there for 200 years. Page after page after page are devoted to establishing that the beaches are made of sand. No, really? But it gets better. Then they go on to say, and I quote, human interaction on global warming will make human occupation of the islands precarious for a resettled population, unquote. Now, that's a very strange statement because, well, there is, or at least was, a settled population. Well, there is now. There are hundreds of American military and thousands of civilian workers, all of whom are on Diego Garcia. They're not going to sink under the waves. And far from sinking, the Brits and Americans are still sailing on it. They're swimming in it. They're playing in it and having barbecues next to it. And what do they call this unlivable place? Fantasy Island. Nobody takes those conclusions seriously, and insofar as when the government repeats them, they are just opening themselves up to ridicule. At the moment of this question posed to the British, an empty suit official, that there were 4,000 U.S. soldiers and contractors, 2.5-mile-long bomber runways, there were anchorages for 30 ships with 2 nuclear-cleared berths, there are space tracking domes and weapons ranges. It's the largest U.S. base outside the United States, which the U.S. Navy describes as indispensable. The living conditions are outstanding, the recreational facilities are unbelievable, and this is according to Navy personnel. And the United States wants to extend their lease past what this says 2016, which, by the way, to my knowledge, they have. And the British government is asking the world to believe that these islands are uninhabitable or that they're sinking. Lame answer from British empty suit official. No, no, of course they are inhabitable, but at a cost. The U.S. does have concerns about climatic conditions longer term in respect to Diego Garcia. Exactly the same concerns that were formulated in the British independence study. You know, like the pages and pages and pages devoted to, well, sand. What the independent study told the empty suit was that there was no fresh drinking water. Real concerns in the outer islands about the sea levels and the danger of flooding, and there would be a need for substantial expenditure on actually building a livable infrastructure. They didn't need that before for 200 years. The water supply. These islands are the wettest islands in the world. From 4 meters a year for one, 3.5 for the rest. In other words, when it rains, the water rises so high, and the rain remains on the surface for days. Which, when added to the study's concerns of sand, it makes the feasibility study worthless. A waste of time. But back to the empty suit. Question, Mr. Empty. This story has shocked most people. Does this government, or do you feel any shame for these actions? Answer by the empty. No, I don't feel ashamed because I took what I believed and the government took as a responsible decision under the circumstances. And those circumstances, if I might interject here, folks, are to build a base so the military could bomb Iraq and Afghanistan. Almost 40 years after the last Chagossian lived within these islands, and I, empty suit, and the British taxpayer was being asked to pick up the financial tab to allow on an almost exploratory basis, the people to go back to the islands. And he goes on to say, we can't manufacture money. You have to make choices as to how to spend your money. Newsflash here, Mr. Empty. Yes, you can manufacture money. Governments do it all the time. And between us folks, those circumstances being are throwing innocent people off their land to lease the property for $14 million a year to another country, the United States, so they could later launch bombers from that locale to rain terror on two other innocent countries, Iraq and Afghanistan, and kill countless other tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of innocent people. And in that context to them, well, what's another couple thousand here or there? Just ask former Secretary of Defense James Schlesinger. The actual cost to maintain that island, as stated by the Prime Minister, was £5 million to set it up and £5 million to run it. That's peanuts. £5 million is the cost of an embassy building in London. In Mauritius, the British Embassy, home to Mr. David Snoxall, the British High Commissioner, in it contains tennis courts, lavish gardens, security fences, a swimming pool, and a new Jaguar automobile, all provided by the British taxpayer. And minutes away, the British citizens less worthy of taxpayer money, the islanders, live in filth and disease-ridden slums without any windows, doors, running water, or electricity. The real reason the British government won't allow the islanders to go home is not money. It's power, American power, and its self-given role to dominate. Might is right, and the great powers have the might, and therefore the right to do anything they want, wherever and whenever they want. They wanted Diego Garcia for a strategic base by which they could launch military aggression against other countries. They grabbed it, at the expense and future suffering of an innocent indigenous population. Now, I pose a question. Is this any different to what we are currently seeing being done to the Palestinians by Israel? Is this not two peas in a psychotic pod? They feel that it is their right. And in all that, the islanders are still not giving up their right to return. They still demonstrate in front of the British High Commission to this day in Port Louis, Mauritius. And the British High Court determines that these people could return to their homeland, and the British monarchy still prevents their return. Well, I guess that says a lot about what kind of rule Britain is really under. This is indeed a capture of the legal powers of the state dating back to medieval history when the country was ruled by a dictator and dictator kings, when edicts prompted patriots like William Wallace of Scotland to raise arms and gather an army. How low can you get? How intellectually dishonest, how morally duplicitous can you get? This has been going on for more than 40 years, actually now close to 60, and to this day the British and American government claim no shame, invented erroneous justifications in preposterous feasibility studies as an excuse to profit in leasing someone else's home to another country to use to aggressively bomb, kill, maim, and poison with depleted uranium and other countries for profit and power. So I end this report with a question. Why do we continue to allow our government to treat people in small countries as either useful or expendable? Why do we accept these specious reasons for the unacceptable? Specious, pleasing to the eye, but deceptive nonetheless. And it goes on and on and on. They do this to people for their own benefit, to set up bases to bomb other people for control. Aggression, control, oil, power, money. Sometimes I get sick of reporting. You know what? Sometimes I get so upset, I just want to shut the microphone off and go hide under my bed. It's disgusting. Going to have a break coming up here. I'm going to get back in three. Open the phone lines, 800-313-9443. Shift gears here. And come up with something a little bit more enlightening, like the latest, you know, sexual escapades that a star is being accused of. Be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well,
all right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Yeah, I want to throw a little tidbit in here in this short segment. I was shared a post by my little girlfriend there in Indiana on Facebook, and it looks as if Scott Baio is on Facebook personally defending a charge that is being alleged against him by a former child star of Charles in Charge, that sitcom that he had back in the 80s, and I think it lasted up till 1990. And evidently this girl, this Nicole Eggert, is accusing Scott Baio of inappropriately touching all through those years and having sex with her before she was 18 years old. And Scott has venomously come out on Facebook, and I've saw him twice now, that he's defending these allegations because this chick is going public with it. And Scott Baio was contacted by TMZ, I believe, and then there's another network. Scott outlined times, dates, places, documents, and so forth to share with both of these networks, and they both declined the interview. They had pre-recorded an interview with Nicole Eckert and then declined to interview her because the documentation that Scott Baio had unequivocally proves that this girl's allegations are false. Yes, he did have sex with her. He was intimate with her, but she was 18 years old and 4 months. That was perfectly legal. And Scott Baio has to my admission, by what the documents that I've seen from his personal video on Facebook, he has definitely proved that he did not have sex with her until she was 18 years and 4 months. However, that said, she just appeared on Megyn Kelly's show, because Megyn Kelly, is scumbag that she is, brought this up and put it out there because, what's her name? Lisa Bloom, Gloria Allred's attorney, feminist, okay, you know, the ones that pay people to go up and talk bad about Trump and say that he sexually molested them and so forth. I think one of them got $250,000, or maybe it was up to $750,000, just for going and making the allegation. This is what's happening here, folks. They're picking out people, and by the way, Scott Bio is an avid Trump supporter. They are taking people that they don't like, who they are or what they do or something that they have done in the past, i.e. Bill Cosby. The reason they went after Bill Cosby is because Bill Cosby tried to take over and buy NBC, and that made them mad. So they went after him. They discredited him. They've ruined the man. And evidently, and he was acquitted, I believe, and now they're taking him back to court. It never ends. This is the scope. This is the lack of morality. This is the emptiness in these people. Now it's happening to Scott Bio. Now, I don't know the man personally, okay? I know that he's got a wife. He's got a child. He's obviously very successful in life. But, you know, there's a reason why these people are chosen. They've done something to politically offend, if you will, somebody behind the scenes. With that, I got a top of the hour break coming up. I know I got John and Austin on the line here. John, I'll bring you up and then hold you over through the break. How you doing, buddy?
All right, man. I just want to make a quick comment about Diego Garcia, and then I'll let you move on.
Well, wait a minute. All right, I got to go to a break, so I'll hold you over for a couple minutes, and I'll bring it right back up after the break. All right.
With doubt, there's nothing left for me to figure out. Paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.